we have reason to rejoice today because Jesus Christ is born. I welcome you to the program. We're going to talk about joy today. This is Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and we're getting close to Christmas. Maybe you don't usually go to church. Maybe you've been struggling to find a church, get back into church for a while. Christmas is such a wonderful time to jump in and attend church and be encouraged by all the wonderful Christmas music and just this wonderful time of year to think about Christ's birth. And so I'd like to invite you and encourage you to go to church this Sunday. I'll get into our topic, joy, in just a moment. But let me invite you, if you do not have a church that you know you would go to this Sunday, I'd invite you to come to our church. This is at 11 o'clock at Fairfax First Baptist Church. I'd also invite you to come to our 9 o'clock service at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray, if that's closer or a better time for you. We have 9 o'clock service there. If you have any questions about church services coming up, maybe you have a question or comment about the program, maybe God has been speaking to you, leading you to want to make some changes in your life as a result of something you've heard on this program, or you need prayer for something, I'd always encourage you to call in, and I'd love to pray with you, talk with you more about some things that you're wondering about. The number to call is 943-8237. That's 943-8237. Well, we've talked about four key words this week that relate to Christmas, and I've done them in a certain order, and those are love, hope, peace, and joy. And I think the reason I chose that order is because they build on each other. Without God's love for us, we would have no reason for hope, and so those are related. Because God sent Jesus Christ, his only Son, his one and only, we can't even understand the relationship that God the Father and God the Son have shared for all eternity. I'm going to read a little bit about the joy of Jesus Christ based on God the Father today. But God sent him, demonstrating his love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Christmas, when we see and think about the baby in the manger, we are reminded of a God who gave of himself sacrificially for no other reason other than he loves us, even though we don't deserve it. Even though we've sinned against him, he demonstrates his love. And that gives us hope. That means that in all the trials of life and all the ups and downs in life and all the painful experiences we go through, we know that God loves us. And so we have reason to hope. We know that God isn't going to leave things like this. We know that God allows us to go through trials of various kinds because he's using them to accomplish a future greater glory, and it will be worth what we're going through now to get the good and the glorious joy that God has in store for us that he's bringing about. And so we have hope. And when we have hope, that means we have strength to go through the various trials of life, knowing that we don't have to go through them as if, we're just unfortunate, bad luck for me, there's no redeeming value to this, it's just terrible. No, we can know as we're going through trials that there must be some good purpose behind it because a loving God has allowed me to go through it, and I can be hopeful about the greater good that's going to come through it. And these are all things that the Bible lays out in many different ways and places, from the Old Testament and New Testament. And so hope gives us strength. And then we can seek peace, peace with God, peace with others. We have the strength to forgive and love others, even those who don't love us, because of this love of God and this hope that we have. So we want to share it with others. Ultimately, we're looking forward to world peace when Jesus Christ returns and comes back to earth. That is one of the things our hope is set on. And then finally, joy. When you see how love, peace, and hope work together, you see what God is accomplishing in the world. It just fills your heart with joy. Joy is not just a good mood. Joy is not just, I feel really good today. Joy is not, I've got a smile on my face. I think you can be crying in pain and yet have joy. Joy is not something that comes and goes. Joy is this abiding satisfaction in life, in the direction life is ultimately heading, that can only be built on an eternal, faithful God that we know loves us. And that's the kind of joy we can have. We see that kind of joy from different people in the Bible, even going through great difficulties. We're full of joy. We see that in Jesus. in his own ministry, in his own prayer, he talks to the disciples about joy. The night before he's crucified, he says, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." Jesus is telling them, a time is about to come, starting tomorrow, where you're going to be mourning. The world is going to have joy. Why? Because I'm going to be crucified. And this is going to be a dark moment in human history, the darkest of moments. And this is a time where the disciples will literally not have joy. But from that time on, from the resurrection on, is a time where disciples always can have joy if they're focused on the right things. So Jesus says, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Later on that evening, after Jesus promises disciples, "No one will ever be able to take away your joy again," Jesus prays. And he prays for his disciples, and he prays this also. He talks about how he lived with the Father, and he says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And so this prayer starts off with this beautiful description of the Father and Son working to glorify each other in all that they do. And this is the basis for joy. Jesus goes on in that prayer to say, "I am coming to you now," meaning Jesus is talking, "I'm coming to you, my Father in heaven. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." So Jesus, in his ministry, is spreading joy. This is, you know, if you want to talk about Christmas spirit, Jesus, of course, the one we celebrate at Christmas, it's his birth that we celebrate, but Jesus, not only that, not only is he the reason for the season, but he has the ultimate Christmas spirit. He comes to spread joy. He has this incredible joy that he shares with the Father, and in his ministry on earth, in his teaching, he's calling people to understand and believe truths that will fill them with joy. He wants us to have the measure of his joy within us. That's specifically what he prays. Jesus is so full of joy. And Jesus, by the way, is going through incredible difficulties. I mean, Jesus just has one of his best friends he knows has gone off to betray him and have him put to death. I mean, that alone would be a great trial for any of us to go through. But not only that, he knows all of his disciples are going to abandon him. He knows all of the top political and religious leaders in his whole nation are plotting how to kill him. He knows he's about to endure about the greatest physical suffering a person can endure in being tortured and then crucified. He knows all this. He knows he's about to die. He knows he's going to be beaten, mocked by crowds, stripped and held naked in front of the crowds. I mean, any of these things by themselves would be traumatic. And yet, the Bible says Jesus did this for the joy set before him. Jesus, even knowing all this, even the night before he's crucified, even he's not smiling really. I don't picture Jesus smiling right now. Remember, in the garden, he's got sweat drops of blood. He's so intense and agonizing over the pain he's going to face. And yet in that moment, he says that he is praying and that he's been teaching and ministering so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. He's wanting to impart joy. And I pray this Christmas season, you sense the joy of Christ in your hearts. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.